Jimmy invoked the name of that iconic actor, Gordon Gekko, who was actually played by Michael Douglas in the movie Wall Street. And I'd like to share with you the words from that speech that he made. He was delivering this speech to a bunch of shareholders at Teldar Paper. This is what he says. "The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works. Greed clarifies, cuts through, captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed in all its forms, greed for life, for money, for love, knowledge, has marked the upward surge of mankind. And greed, you mark my words, will not only save Teldar Paper, but that other malfunctioning corporation, the United States of America." Interesting words. You know, the context of this movie was in the 1980s, and the underlying issue of greed is something that I feel we wrestle with each day. It underlies the difference between needs and wants. It drives us to desire. It seduces us. It enslaves us. It distorts our lives, our relationships, and the good gifts that God has given to us. Oz Guinness, in his book, Steering Through Chaos, defines greed as sin with two components. The first is getting what we do not have, and the second is keeping what we do have. This morning, as we continue in our series, Sinning Like a Christian, we will be looking at the sin historically known as avarice. Now, some of you may be saying, "Avarice? What is avarice?" And you're sitting there wanting to Google it and find out what it is. And so, in order to be clear, and so that you can understand what I preach about this morning, let's just be very clear that this deadly sin that we're looking at this morning is the sin of greed. And I'd invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 13. Listen to God. "Someone in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' Jesus replied, 'Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?' Then he said to them, 'Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions.' And he told them this parable. 'The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, "You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Gracious God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together, that they will be acceptable in your sight, because you are the very God, rock of our salvation. To that end, Lord, help us not only to hear your words, but to take heed and to seek to obey you. For we ask it in the strong name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Greed is nothing new. It's been around for a long, long, long time. In fact, that's why I believe it made the top 10 list of the commandments back in the Exodus. You shall not covet. It was pretty clear. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not set your desire on your neighbor's house or land, his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Pretty clear. But what is it that's needed? What is it that's desired? William Willimon, in his book, Sinning Like a Christian, states this: the line between need and desire gets thin. The problem in the matter of desire is not that we deeply desire. We desire deeply the wrong things. In our text, we learn of someone in the crowd who comes to Jesus with a request, a deep desire. There seems to be an issue between two brothers regarding the proper division of an inheritance. We're told only the perspective of the brother who comes to Jesus with the request. Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. We don't know if the other brother who has the inheritance or possesses the inheritance is present or not. All we know is the request that this man makes of Jesus. It seems that he is wanting Jesus not to hear both sides of the issue, but simply to intervene and rule in his favor. Jesus' response tells us a lot. Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? Let me just say that the use of the word man is not a cordial response. Jesus refuses to be the judge or the arbiter for this man. In addition, Jesus also gives a warning. Watch out! Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Very interesting here. The warning is not to watch out for greed in others. It's to watch out for greed in ourselves. And Jesus does what Jesus normally does. He tells a story to illustrate his point. But before we get to that story, let's consider this man who came to Jesus with a request. Imagine how he felt. Because of him, Jesus tells a story to illustrate his concern with greed. Have you ever been in the place where you felt lower than a footprint? I'm thinking that that may be what this man is feeling at this point. Jesus' point is clear, not only to this man, but to the people who are listening and to us as well. Be on guard against greed. Greed is not good. Gordon Gekko got it wrong. It's clear that he didn't know, or at least if he knew, he didn't hear or take heed to Jesus' teaching here in the Gospel of Luke. A certain rich man had an abundant harvest. It was an outstanding crop. It was so abundant that he didn't know what to do with it. In fact, take a look at that phrase there. He thought to himself. Those words mean that he debated in his head. He debated back and forth about what to do. And the decision became clear. He would tear down his barns that existed, and he would build larger, bigger ones. This in and of itself is not a bad decision based on what he had to do. He would store up his surplus grain, years' worth of grain, and he would take life easy. Eat, drink, be merry. And why not? He worked hard. He lucked out. He deserved to enjoy all that he had. And then we read the words, "but God." Whenever you see the word "but" in Scripture, you need to realize that there's something important coming. In this parable, it's all about God's perspective. And if you didn't catch that something important was coming, it was made clear by two words: "you fool." There's a couple things to notice. First, as the man debated with himself, did you see the repetition of the word "my"? My crops, my barns, my surplus grain, myself, mine, 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 mine. It was all about what he has. Second, in his debate, he didn't take into consideration the needs of others. There is no mention or no thought of others. There is not any hint of responsibility toward others. The error in his decision-making process was the preoccupation with his desires. It was about creating a life of ease and self-indulgence. It was creating a life of self-interest. What he failed to take into account was his own life. The word here used by Luke can be translated not just life, but soul. He didn't take into account his soul. Derek Bach, in his commentary on Luke, says that he is a fool because he was blind when it came to judging life's priorities. His possessions and social status had no weight. He can't take his possessions with him, and when he dies, his treasures will not be his. One of my colleagues over the years has loved to say that you never see a hearse with a U-Haul. Is that right, Jed? He's nodding yes. You never see a hearse with a U-Haul. This man had treasures for himself, but he was not rich toward God. He didn't take into account his soul. So how do you measure up? How do we measure up in our lives? Sure, this is a story, but we can't ignore the clear teaching and the truths that Jesus taught. The Word and Life Study Bible says of greed, it is based on the foolish belief that what matters in life is how much one has. It could be money, as it is in this text, or power, or intelligence, or beauty. The idea is that having that thing will make us content. But it's clear that it won't make us content, because we'll want more. The one who dies with the most toys does not win. What are the decision-making processes that we use when we debate in our own minds about what we need, what we desire, and how we use the resources that we've been given? How would God respond to the choices and decisions that we make, the big ones and the little ones? Jesus' words are clear. Be on guard against greed. Os Guinness says of greed that it's a sin of the spirit that is self-love in a perverted form. It breeds a host of consequences, including loneliness, anxiety, neglect of the poor, waste, crime, injustice, and I love this last one, restless unease. The self is the most important thing, to the detriment of relationship with God and others. And so we've got to ask the question, how do we guard against greed? I'd like to suggest four ways. First, we need a healthy understanding of stewardship. Stewardship refers to how we care for and use the gifts that God has given to us. In Genesis 1 and 2, Adam and Eve are told to be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, to work the garden and care for it. In Psalm 24, we're told that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. In James 1:17, we read that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of heavenly light. The scriptures tell us to be good stewards, to be good managers of the resources and of the people that God brings into our lives. Whether we have a lot of resources or a few resources, it doesn't matter. What matters is how we care for and use the resources, because they are not ours. They belong to God. And for us to covet means that we are discontented with what God provides. Second, we would do well to cultivate an attitude of generosity. Generosity focuses not on ourselves, but it focuses on others. It's not about being greedy or tight-fisted or stingy. It's about being big-hearted and open-handed. Being generous means that we don't look around to see who else is giving or how much they're giving. The author William May said, "The true opposite of the tight-fistedness of greed is not the empty-handedness of death, but the open-handedness of love." Now, at the risk of making people uncomfortable this morning, one of the ways to practice generosity is by giving to the ministries of Noroten Presbyterian Church. Sorry, I was getting the churches wrong. Noroten Presbyterian Church. It's your gifts that make the ministries of this congregation happen. It is one of the gifts of everyone. It is the gifts of everyone here that make the ministry of Noroten Presbyterian Church, got it right, happen both locally and globally. If you read Noroten notes, you'll see that we currently have a gap of approximately $750,000 between what we believe God is calling us to do and what we know is going to come in. That's quite a gap. Now let me make another observation in the midst of this. We built a building for $13 million. We didn't borrow a cent. Just saying. Third, we need to pray for the Holy Spirit to help us be good stewards, to be good managers of what's been entrusted to us. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to change our attitudes if necessary. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to come in and change our hearts where necessary. And we need to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to do that work of renovation that needs to be done in our hearts, in our minds. Fourth, we need to answer a question. When is enough enough? I have a friend here in this congregation who's in the advertising business. When I first met him and asked about his job, he responded in this way: "I'm in a business that makes you want something you don't need and never knew you wanted." When is enough enough? I can't answer that question for you. Only you can answer that. And you need to wrestle with it. I need to wrestle with it. Because Jesus' words are clear. Be on guard against greed. And so I ask, when is enough enough? And you're like, John, you just asked us that question. You didn't give us enough time to think about it. How much time do we really need? How much time do we need? We can't afford to wait on this. Because the answer to that question has spiritual implications that we cannot ignore. It has to do with the health and well-being of our soul. Be on guard against greed. May it be so. Amen.